Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
John, talk to us, man.
Listen, I'm so excited about our tribe and everyone that's joining us in our community. We love to hear your comments, your engagement with us, because we're learning out loud. But together, I'm excited about this program because, there once was a day about technology. We say, the future is now. It's right now.
As a matter of fact, I'm reading this book right now, and it's called Augmented: Life in the Fast Lane by Brett King. And it is a shocker when you read this book. If you want to find out about the future being now, it's amazing what's taking place in it. And the first thing I want to say is, they're trying to teach robots, John, to be able to life in the smart lane. They're trying to teach robots how to read our emotions. The thing about it is, this is, just so you know right up front, the difference between a robot and a human is you have a soul. They don't have a soul. And so even though it
Can you imagine you had to explain that?
It's true. Well, so many people don't even think about God came to save your soul. Yeah. And that's so important. Understand this. But they're saying the reason, listen to what Brett King says. He says we have to actually teach the robots to be able to learn emotions. Check this out. You'll see it right here on your screen. He says, now to this other, more controversial reason why robots need to learn emotions is so they won't kill us. Isn't this crazy?
Wow.
As a matter of fact, in his book, in Brett King's book, Augmented, one particular, this is Jong Lee, right?
Yes.
And he's actually the leader of Hanson Robotics, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what does he say? Because he's talking about the positive reasons why we're going to have, robots and how they're going to be helping us out and taking jobs. What does he say?
Well, he speaks passionately about the need for
Hanson. And if you put the book up, too, I want them to be able to see the book while he's reading from the book here.
He speaks passionately about the need for Hanson robots to be able to emote more micro-expressions than just about any human as he discusses the robot Han.
So he's talking about being able to show emotion and read emotions.
Okay. Correct. Now, Han, this is a robot that they created. Han's really exciting because not only can he generate very realistic facial expressions, but he can also interact with the environment around him. He has cameras on his eyes and on his chest, which allow him, Greg, to recognize people's faces. And not only that, but to recognize their gender, their age, and whether they're happy or sad.
So it can recognize your gender.
Yes.
Can you imagine today when people walk up and say, I'm a man or a woman, and Hans goes,
No,
actually, you're a man, right?
But your expressions on your face, they can distinguish whether you're happy, you're sad, you're angry.
Wow.
This is a real deal.
Okay.
And it makes him, this robot, very exciting for places like hotels, for example.
This is where it hits because it's about jobs.
It's about money here.
Yeah, bottom line.
Where you need to appreciate the customers in front of you and react accordingly.
Now, this is so important because this is always about money.
Yeah.
I think it's Revelation chapter 13, is it? It's about a beast economy. It's always about economy. When you hear people talking about globalism, what they're really saying is, I have a business in America and I have a business in other countries, and I want these customers to get along with me. But it boils down to this. We have to ask the question is, when you're talking about globalism, are you willing to take on the gods that are in the other nation? Are you willing to be loyal to your God when you're actually going into other nations? And so when you're looking right here, this last end day is going to be an economy. It's going to be an economy ran by a
beast.
Some sort of system, and you're looking at the beginning stages of that. And who doesn't like a robot to help out? I mean, we're using iPads and Androids. And
listen, some folks can't smile at a front desk. If a robot can smile and take care of the customer, well,
John, there's going to be some people. we've talked to them for years. Like, did you ever think about putting a smile on your face? And Hans is going to walk up and say, you're the saddest person I've ever seen.
Not only is that, but Hans is going to say, I took your job. Get out.
Right. So we actually, like you said, we're going to start walking around.
Straighten up.
But what does he talk specifically about? Instead of buying these computers, they're going to start leasing them out.
Well, he says Hanson's target, right, the company, is to have its robots in the market so that it can be leased out for $3,000 a month. At that level, the numbers start to make a lot of sense. Hanson shows that at such levels, this could produce savings of $150,000 per year for in the front desk receptionist costs in the hotel scenario alone. So you multiply $157,000 per hotel. It's a lot of savings.
You know, and the technology, what they're talking about, you hear over and over again, said that the jobs will never come back. What they're saying is the way jobs are done is never going to come back.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is becoming technical. You know, what are we going to do? They're talking about a lot of different things we can't have time for right
here. You can go to Sam's now and scan your own groceries and pay and walk out a separate. I mean, this, the human interaction is going away.
You just found this out.
Okay, so yeah, listen, I don't shop often, you know.
Well, they have Apple Store, you know, they, not Apple, but Amazon's Go, that you can just pull stuff off the shelf and walk out, and it registers for you. Now, listen. He also says, now, Brett King, and he's writing this article, you got to read this book, this is intriguing. I mean, he's just talking factually. But after they talk about Hansen, what Hansen's going to do with Hans, the robot, and that type of thing, you know, and he's talking about why you need to be able to emote and show emotions, because we relate by expressions and emotions. You know, we're the only creation of gods on earth that can show expression.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell where people are, you know, by our expressions. And Some people have expressions, some people don't.
But understand, it's the glory, right?
But understand this. He says, we've got to be able to teach them to read our emotions. And look at this. This is what he says right here. He says, now for the other, after Hans, talking about what Hans is going to do with business, Hans Robotics says this, but now for the other more controversial reason why robots need to understand our emotions is so they won't kill us.
Mm.
It's so important, which means, first of all, it means this. They have a capability of killing you. This
absolutely.
Is, you know, somebody says, you know, we just need computers to solve the problem. Well, God says we are the problem. We needed Jesus to save us and forgive us. When the robots start saying, well, the problem is the human element.
We need to exterminate them. We got to get rid of the human element the earth will be great.
What happened to grace? As a matter of fact, this guy's interviewing, God, John, this guy's interviewing Sophia, same thing, artificial intelligence. And she's the next level after Hans, from what I understand.
Yes, she is. And she's also the first citizen robot in Saudi Arabia.
They made her a citizen.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, check it out.
I do believe that there will be a time where robots are indistinguishable from humans. My preference is to make them always look a little bit like robots, so you know. 20 years from now, I believe that human-like robots like those will walk among us. They will help us. They will play with us. They will teach us. They will help us put the groceries away. I think that the artificial intelligence will evolve to the point where they will truly be our friends. Do you want to destroy humans? Please say no.
Okay, I will destroy humans.
No, I take it back. Don't destroy humans.
That's not jesting. This thing is saying, I want to destroy him. Mobileye, which is now owned by Intel, by the way, and Intel has a piece of your computer. Every computer around has an Intel chip in it. And Mobileye.
We are so close.
Yes,
right?
Yes. And Mobileye, you know, they develop a special camera techniques to be able to put on cars so the cars could be driverless. And they're trying to figure out how in the world could you explain shared autonomous, in other words, you don't drive it, it drives itself, autonomous mobility. And they were trying to figure out some couple of examples. And they went straight to the worst case scenario, an evil plot of being able to understand it. And they actually told the car to drive around, John, by itself and pick up bodies from mobsters and then drive them to the river. I know, but this is things that AI can do. As a matter of fact, take a look.
I've got an idea for that. Think of a gangster movie. Imagine. Two gangsters loading a large package into the trunk of a car.
To the river.
Destination confirmed.
The car drives by itself to another location with two other gangsters who then put their own package into the trunk. And the car drives by itself from job to job, just like that. And boom! What do you get? Shared autonomous mobility.
I'm not sure our legal department would approve it.
This is not a movie. This is reality of what could actually take place. Of course, they were joking about it, but the reality is Elon Musk is warning us about this. As a matter of fact, he says the most benign reality of this artificial intelligence is that it can do every job that we can do, but do it better. Take a look.
I think there's probably going to be a lot that happens in genetics and in a human-machine brain interface, like essentially a cyborg brain interface. I think there's some pretty...
The so-called singularity?
Singularity, well, that's sort of more relating to deep AI. Something I think we should be concerned about, is that may or may not turn out well.
Yeah. You've expressed your reservations about AI and your fears about that.
Yeah, I just think it's the singularity is probably the right word, because we just don't know what's going to happen once there's intelligence substantially greater than that of a human brain.
Yeah, and do you think, I mean, because there's been a lot of sci-fi about AI, series like Humans, you know, et cetera, it's entering the mainstream, entering the public discourse, that people are understanding the ethical dangers and the, I guess, physical dangers that AI could potentially pose?
I mean, most of the movies and TV featuring AI, they don't describe it in quite the way it's likely to actually take place, but I think you just have to consider, like, even in the benign scenario where AI, if AI is much smarter than a person, what do we do?
Yeah.
What is that? What job do we have?
Believe in a benevolent AI force and cross our fingers.
Yeah, just like even, but that's the benign scenario. Benign scenario, the AI can do any job that a human can, but better.
Yeah.
That's the benign scenario.
The benign scenario is that the AI can do any job we can do, but better. First, let's look again at what Brett King said about we have to teach these robots emotions. He said the reason why we have to teach them emotions, they can look at our face and say, we're a human being, is so they don't kill us, right? And he said that's a benign thing. You think about the word benign. You think about the definition of benign, because this is the most benign thing. That's gentle. The word means gentle and kindly. In other words, this is the most gentle and kind thing that you can even think about this thing.
That this robot will actually do.
Which is, can do every job that you can do, but better. That's benign. Oh, are some words that mean the same thing, some synonyms that mean the same thing as benign is kindly, kind, warm-hearted, good-natured, friendly, affectionate, you know, agreeable, cordial.
Approachable, tender-hearted, gentle, sympathetic, compassionate.
So in other words, he's saying, that is literally the most benign thing it can do. But you have Brett King talking about, this thing can kill you.
Yeah.
You know, and if you teach it, if you make it smarter than you. As a matter of fact, listen, John, we want to hear from you. Talk to us in our community. We want to hear your feedback on this. Yes, we like technology is really helping us out. And technology needs to submit to us and needs to honor your life and honor our life. It doesn't need to take over our life.
That's right.
In the context of this is such an interesting program. You know, we're talking about, you know, artificial intelligence, which basically is robots. You know, we're talking about Brett King's book, Augmented Life in the Smart Lane. I believe it's Life in the Smart Lane.
Smart Lane.
Hans, you know, robotics, how they're talking about replacing people's jobs. And listen, just face the facts that your company's looking to lower their costs. And the more people force people, especially with right now they're trying to push, you know, fast food workers to get $15 an hour, which is great, but understand this. They're going to look at the bottom line. Next thing you know, Hans is going to be talking to people at the drive-thru.
Taking an order.
He's going to be making the burger and making the sandwich and emoting the emotions that the person who purchased the franchise would want their customer to see. And it's like, we have to begin, and I understand, this is so important. You know, we love all the people that are connected to the community, to the tribe at VFNKB, but you got to find your tribe, you got to connect, because there's so many innovative ideas and creative concepts for you in this next economy that's going on. You can go to VFNKB.com, get connected, sign up for the next the webinar that's coming up, but you got to begin to understand where we're going in hours. We're like hours away from this thing. We're in it, but it's, you know, people, they're waiting for the buy-in, but right now they're you know, they're saying things, I'm not going to go too many details what they're going to, but understand that, but in this, there's a worldwide economy for your business. There's a worldwide reach for your ministry.
Absolutely.
There's an opportunity to be able to reach more, because I think the window of time is going to be short, but God is giving us the ability so all of us could see the two witnesses standing in Jerusalem. Remember the prophecy?
That's right.
Because it's not a big deal today for everybody to turn on and watch a live
stream. Not with today's
stream.
Technology. No, not at all.
You can see it, right?
Which before we would think when we're reading those prophetic scriptures, how in the world would this ever happen?
Right.
And now it's just like that from a phone.
Well, you listen to this, John. You know, Elon Musk was meeting with all the governors of America, I believe the National Governors Association.
Yeah.
And he was talking to them about robots or artificial intelligence, which are computers that think. And he's talking about, you're so far behind the times. As a matter of fact, Governor Dorsey of Arizona was asking the question, he's being kind of cynical. How can we actually make laws for something we don't yet
understand?
And
Elon Musk is the founder of SpaceX, Tesla. So this is the
most... He just launched that largest rocket known since the 1960s from his company, privately
into
owned.
Space.
Into space.
So this is an intelligent person
intelligent.
Who's speaking on this, you know.
Exactly. So he's the governor. It's Governor Dorsey of Arizona asking this question. Check it out.
Governor Ducey.
Thanks, Elon. I really enjoyed your comments today. And as someone who has spent a lot of time in his administration trying to reduce and eliminate regulations, I was surprised by your suggestion to bring regulations before we know exactly what we're dealing with AI. You know, and I've heard the example used, if I were to come up with a colorless, odorless, tasteless gas that was explosive, people would say, well, you have to ban that, and then we'd have no natural gas. So you've given some of these examples of how AI can be an existential threat, but I still don't understand as policymakers what type of regulations beyond slow down, which typically policymakers don't get in front of entrepreneurs or innovators.
Well, I think the first order of business would be to gain insight. Right now, the government does not even have insight. I think the right order of business would be to stand up a regulatory agency, initial goal, gain insight into the status of AI activity, make sure the situation is understood. Once it is, then put regulations in place to ensure public safety. That's it. And for sure, the companies doing AI will most of them, not mine, will squawk and say, hey, this is really going to stifle innovation, blah, blah, blah. It's going to move to China. It won't. It won't because, has Boeing moved to China? Nope. They're building aircraft here. Same with on cars. The notion that if you establish a regulatory regime that companies will just simply move to countries with lower regulatory requirements is false on the face of it because none of them do. Unless it's really overbearing, but that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm just talking about, you know, making sure that there is awareness at the government level. I think once there is awareness, people will be extremely afraid, as they should be.
That's so powerful. And he's talking to the governors. Let me show you what he said one more time. Look at this. He says, when people find out about AI, artificial intelligence, people will be extremely afraid, and they should be. Now, he's not saying don't have it. He's saying we need to regulate it and be over it and be aware of that. And we want to hear what your opinions are on that. You know, comment below and let us know about that. But also, listen to what else Elon Musk said specifically about loosen this AI without any regulations. It's like loosen a demon. Check it out.
I think we should be very careful about artificial intelligence. If I were to guess at what our biggest existential threat is, it's probably that. So we need to be very careful with artificial intelligence. We are summoning the demon. You know all those stories where there's the guy with the pentagram and the holy water, and he's like, yeah, you sure you can control the demon? Didn't work out.
And what he's talking about is once you teach a computer or technology to be smarter than you, why does it need you? We did a program some time back. You got to see this program about the movie Her and how actually once it learns from you, it moves on from you. And you have to actually have a value system. And he writes about this in this particular book, Augmented, are these computers and AI going to have inalienable rights, which we have. And what he's saying is we have to right now in our Constitution that we have inalienable rights over these machines, that we can take a machine out anytime, anywhere. But even right now, I know we're about to close here, but right now, if you have a drone flying over your house, a little, small drone, not a military drone, a small drone, but it could be a military drone, they actually have the same rules on that as FAA. If you shoot down an airliner, that's one thing. But if you throw a net over a drone that somebody's trying to spy on your back at your house or something like that, it's the same rules that apply. So they need to have rules where you're actually take priority over machines. But they don't have that. You got to get that book. Brett King's book, Augmented, really wakes you up. makes you think about this. You're hearing this time. The Lord said these days are going to come. But, you know, you can position yourself to be aware of these things. Make sure that, you know, you're making laws. You're, as a governor, you're listening and saying, you need to find out about this. But we want to hear about you. What do you think about artificial intelligence? What do you think about robots? What do you think about Elon Musk is what he's saying? What do you think about Brett King and the book Augmented? Have you read it yet? What's your opinion on it? What about these computers having inalienable rights? What do you think about these mobile cars? I mean, there's a lot of things we want to hear from you about. Right below, you know, write us. We want to hear from you. But right now, I just want to bless you. Father God, thank you for our community. We thank you, Lord, for our tribe. We just bless them right now, Father God. Lord, you said in these days it takes wisdom. It takes the ability to hear from your spirit, God. And I just pray right now that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see, Father God. We even decree it even so, Lord God, that we will know what to do in this particular day, God. And we just decree even right now, Father God, that revival has come and the third great awakening is here. 3 years of peace is here and abortion has ended in America. We just decree it even so in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.